Today's reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Ooh, maybe. It's good that we get feedback, isn't it? Not only here in this way, but also from the Lord. Okay. But, Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I have a quick question for everyone. Who here is a child? Raise your hand. Great. Okay, well, yeah. Who here was a child at some point? I mean, so we're children of God, too, if we're knowing Jesus. Well, let's imagine a scenario together, and it's about children. Anyway, imagine there's a child, a boy, and his dad. When the child talks with his dad, he mainly just asks him to give him things, right? So, Daddy, can you buy me a new bike? Daddy, can I have those new ice skates? I say that because I'm Canadian. New ice skates, very important. Daddy, please, I want to go to Disneyland. I guess there's one in Paris here in Europe, so you don't have to go to the U.S., Daddy, I want the new gaming machine. Well, I mean, that's somewhat normal, actually, but we probably still think that the child, if that's all he ever says, is a bit little whiny, annoying, I don't know, maybe self-centered. Especially if the child's already a bit older and that we would expect him then to be more mature. Of course, if he's a teenager, I don't really know, but I was a teenager once, too, so if he's a teenager, perhaps we're glad that he's being communicative at all with his parents. Okay. So today, the topic we'll be talking about is prayer, also from the passage that Taran just read for us in Philippians chapter 4. And that's how we communicate with our Father in heaven, with God. And I'll be the first to admit that sometimes, not always, fortunately, but sometimes my own prayers just sound like a shopping list, just sound like a list of things I want God to do, with only a few thank yous thrown in here and there. How we talk with God reveals a lot about what kind of relationship we have with Him, doesn't it? And if you or I want a closer relationship with God, then at some level, it is also how it is with other people. Learning how to communicate better helps a lot to improve the relationship. Last Sunday, if you were here or watching online, John preached about the Bible, the word that God has written for us. One could even say his love letter to us. The Bible is the clearest way we can hear from God, that he uses to speak to us. And prayer is how we can speak to God. It's actually the most amazing thing that we get to talk with God at all, isn't it? Think about it. And that not only can we talk with him, but that he listens with joy and with care when we speak with him. God, who is the creator of the universe, the creator of everything, the king who is higher than any other king, the only holy and perfect one, a mighty savior and our judge. Friends, if we are trusting in Jesus, if we are trusting in Jesus, then you and I have the incredible privilege of having God himself as our closest friend, as a loving father indeed to us. Yes, God loves us as his children, and is always willing to listen and hear what you and I have to say. And friend, if you're not yet sure whether you want to follow Jesus, please know that God already loves you unconditionally. And the invitation to know him personally as a loving father and a friend is also for you. Now, if we have God as our Father, we can be very, very sure that he will always do the best for us, even more than the most loving human parent would. As it's written in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 to 11, which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Let's look down in our Bibles at the passage that Taryn read for us, at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. There we're told to not be anxious about anything. That makes a lot of sense if we know that God is our loving Father and provides for us in a way that is better than any human parent could. We're also encouraged in our prayers to come with thanksgiving before God. As it says here, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to him. Now, whenever I say the word thanksgiving, I tend to think of the American or Canadian holiday of Thanksgiving. My phone actually autocorrects it automatically, capitalizes that word. Maybe yours does too, I don't know. But I have the Canadian version of the phone, so I'm just kidding. But here I'm not talking about one special day where we eat turkey or vegan turkey, tofurkey, and give thanks, but rather giving thanks daily on any normal day, prayerfully giving thanks in everything, in every occasion, as it says here in verse 6. I'm sure that each of us, if given a moment, could come up with many, many reasons to be thankful to God, whether it's the beauty of a sunset, a walk in nature in the forest, that we can spend time with family or good friends, that we have food on our tables, that we have help from other people, for example, from our church community, or of course, all the prayers that God has answered in our lives, and that God has forgiven us our sins, and that day by day, he's transforming us, making us new, helping us to be more loving, more joyful, and bit by bit, more like Jesus. A few verses earlier here in verse 4, same chapter, Philippians 4, we're also told that we should rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. I hope and pray that for each of us, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we'll be growing in love towards him and find more and more reasons to be joyful in him. And I hope that prayer itself, spending time with him, talking with him, will also give us more and more joy, so that spending time in prayer won't be just something that we feel like we need to do, should do, but rather a joy that we look forward to eagerly. And well, prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer itself can be the antidote to worries and anxiety. Often as we come to God in prayer, our anxieties fade away. We feel calm. We feel at peace. In verse 7 here, it says that the result of prayer is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yes, sometimes this in fact does mean a feeling, a tangible feeling of peace or a calm that comes over us. But interestingly, that's not actually the main thing that's being talked about here. The peace of God goes beyond just a feeling, even as love, especially God's love, is more than a feeling, more than an emotion. Friends, if you and I are trusting in Jesus, then we have the peace of God, in that we have peace with God. We are no longer enemies of God, separated from him by our sin and fearing judgment. Rather, through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, our sins have been wiped away by his blood, wiped clean, and we are reconciled to God. We are at peace with God. So when we come to God in prayer, he promises it here as well. He promises that his peace will guard our hearts and our minds, guarding us that we won't fall away from Christ, no matter the difficulties or challenges we're facing or even persecution, guarding us that we would not give in to temptation and sin, guarding us that even if we do sin, we will still turn to him, we will repent and receive God's forgiveness anew. Let me share something personally. I remember the time before I had faith in Jesus. Then at that time, I was never truly at peace. And sometimes I felt guilt or shame about the bad things, the sin that I'd done. Praise God that he brought me to know Jesus, to trust that his death on the cross saved me from sin, set me free, so that now I can live with God's peace. Friend, if you haven't yet found true peace, come to Jesus. Everyone who comes to know Jesus and trust in him receives forgiveness and lasting peace. As in anything else in our life with God, our best example for prayer, the best example to follow in prayer is, well, Jesus. Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed at some very critical moments. For example, he fasted and prayed for 40 days at the beginning of his ministry, or also just before he was imprisoned and taken to the cross. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was quite busy. He had many, many important things to do. He was proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was teaching people. He was forgiving. He was healing, and he was performing many other miracles. But he still found time to pray. And actually, he frequently went off on his own to be alone in a quiet place, where he could pray and speak with his Father. Because Jesus, of course, had a very close relationship with God the Father. One thing I think we could learn from Jesus' example is to prioritize prayer, no matter how busy we might feel. To always make time for prayer, to make time for God, even especially when we have many things to do. To remember that we're dependence on God, on our relationship with him, that God is the one who gives us strength for the things that we should do, so that having an active and fruitful life as a Christian also means pausing and taking time to pray. In Jesus, we also have a Savior and Lord who knows how it is to pray intensely when facing suffering and even death. I already mentioned the Garden of Gethsemane, and there in the garden, knowing that he would soon be taken prisoner and would die on the cross, Jesus prayed. He prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's from the passage in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Sometimes God will not answer our prayer in the way that we wish. Sometimes suffering or even death cannot be avoided. But as it was with Jesus, we can be comforted in knowing that God the Father is with us, and he will give us strength to face even the most difficult situation. And God will help us in surrendering to him, to also accept that not our will, but his be done. I thought it would be helpful and encouraging to share some more testimonies regarding prayer. The first one I'll share is a personal testimony. I think many of you know that my wife and I have a baby son, Daniel, Danny. When he was still in the womb, in the middle of the last trimester, the ultrasound showed that his weight was likely significantly below normal. That, of course, concerned us greatly, that our baby might not be growing and developing normally in the womb. So we prayed, bringing our concerns and our worries before the Lord and trusting in him. We also asked others to pray for our baby, including the healing prayer group here at LEC. In the end, baby Daniel was born with a healthy weight, 3 kilograms, and since birth, he continues to be healthy and developing well, and he's now, today, actually 8 months old. Furthermore, my wife, Borbala, has experienced God's nearness and goodness throughout the pregnancy and birth, even through the various challenges. Yeah, and anyone who's given birth, or any father as well, knows about all those challenges too. I'm sure we can all think of more examples of how God has answered prayer in our midst. One special example would be how God has been answering and continues to be answering our prayers over the many years about growing his kingdom here in Leipzig and in the surrounding region. Specifically, one example of that would be with the church plant in Markkleeberg, the Christusgemeinde in Markkleeberg, which was sent out from us just under a year ago. I'd like to share one more testimony about prayer, one that I personally find very moving and inspiring. I imagine that most of you have heard of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the American pastor and civil rights leader. He became a leader in the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 1960s in the U.S., working to overcome the severe racism and segregation against Black Americans. The story I'm sharing is from early in Martin Luther King's career, before he became prominent and widely known. So at that time, he had recently stepped up as a leader in the Montgomery bus boycott. That's the one that started when Rosa Parks refused to move to the back of the bus and was arrested. But Dr. King, being a leader, it quickly made King himself also the target of racists. He and his family were soon receiving up to 40 threatening phone calls a day, including death threats. Dr. King wrote in his book about this, the book Stride Towards Freedom. "I was ready to give up," he wrote. I tried to think of a way to move out of the picture without appearing a coward. In this state of exhaustion, when my courage had all but gone, I decided to take my problem to God. With my head in my hands, I bowed over the kitchen table and prayed aloud. I'm here taking a stand for what I believe is right, but now I am afraid. The people are looking to me for leadership, and if I stand before them without strength and courage, they too will falter. I am at the end of my powers. I have nothing left. I've come to the point where I can't face it alone." It continues, "At that moment, I experienced the presence of the divine as I had never experienced God before. It seemed as though I could hear the quiet assurance of an inner voice saying, 'Stand up for justice, stand up for truth, and God will be at your side forever.' Almost at once, my fears began to go. My uncertainty disappeared. I was ready to face anything." Actually, 3 days later, a bomb blasted Dr. King's house, and his family just barely escaped unharmed. But the experience with God that King had a few nights earlier gave him the strength to face even that calmly. King went on eventually to become the key leader of the civil rights movement, which under his guidance, or perhaps I should say under God's guidance, was characterized by nonviolence in the face of hate and by prayer. How should we then pray ourselves? With which words? Sometimes when we come to pray, we're not sure what to say or how to say it. I've also experienced that many times. And perhaps we're concerned that our words won't be dignified or respectful enough, considering that we are talking to God himself, which is understandable if we think about how carefully we might choose our words when speaking with a boss or a leader or a king. But we should remember that God is also our closest friend and a loving father to us. So when we look at examples in the Bible of prayer, we see that people opened up their hearts to God very honestly and vulnerably. They prayed with simple words and honestly expressed their feelings as well. Jesus himself told a parable about a very simple prayer that he approved of. In Luke 18, verse 13, he told a story about a tax collector who came up to the temple to pray. And all he prayed was, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Or if we consider the Psalms in the Old Testament, many of which were prayers to God, we heard Psalm 86. I mean, we read it together, actually, earlier in the service. We can see in the Psalms that people were very honest and straightforward in speaking with God. They expressed their real emotions, not only joy and gratitude, but also more difficult emotions like sadness and fear and anger. Martin Luther King's prayer was also a simple and a short one. He was a very intelligent and eloquent man, but in his prayer, he only said a few short and simple sentences. Indeed, we never need to use special words or many words when talking with God, because actually God knows what we need even before we ask him. He knows us and our needs better than we do ourselves. As I've said several times and in different ways this morning, prayer is part of a healthy and living relationship with God. As we know, sin blocks us from having a healthy relationship with God, which also means that sin can hinder our prayers, can block our prayers. Thus, if we want to live in relationship with God, and if we want him to hear our prayers, answer our prayers, then we should be quick to repent from sin, seeking God's forgiveness and his help in living more like Jesus. This also means seeking forgiveness from others or forgiving them when we've been wronged by them. I personally experienced the importance of forgiveness and being reconciled before praying in a situation where I had had an argument with my wife. So God has a very high standard of how we're to behave in marriage. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 tells husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to her. Otherwise, in fact, our prayers may be hindered. It says that. I had gotten into an argument with my wife, now sharing with you, honestly, just before coming to church, not today, but just before coming to church, when I was supposed to do the intercessions once. Fortunately, we managed to talk with each other just after arriving at church. We prayed together, forgave each other, or she forgave me, and we calmed down. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to lead the intercessory prayers with a clear conscience. Friends, today we've looked at a short passage in Philippians chapter 4 about prayer, plus a few other passages and ideas from the Bible. But I hope as you and I continue to read and study the Bible for ourselves, as God speaks to you through it, you and I will also learn more and more about how to speak to Him. There are many examples of prayer throughout the Bible. I already mentioned the Psalms. There are also, of course, all the prayers that Jesus and the apostles prayed in the New Testament. In particular, there is the prayer that Jesus used as an example to teach his disciples and to teach us. Well, we are his disciples, hopefully, how to pray. The Lord's Prayer. If you're new to following Jesus, it's a great place to start. And if you've been following Jesus for many years already, it's a great place to always return to. It's a prayer worth reflecting on, meditating on, and making your own. Later in the service, during the intercessions, we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. Let me now pray for us as I close. Father God, we thank you that you are a loving Father to us, and we have relationship with you, and help us to always remember all the who you are, the beauty and wonder of who you are, and to have joy in you, to know your love, to praise you, and to give thanks to you for all your goodness and mercy, and help us to always come to you in prayer, no matter what the circumstances are, and to share our hearts with you. Help us know your peace and your goodness more deeply. Help us to grow in relationship and in love towards you. In Jesus' name.